Here comes the biggest asshole raptor the whole world's ever seen.
Welcome to the Clary Podcast, a division of Aaron Clary, LLC. Brought to you by AssholeConsulting.com. Aaron Clary, Chairman and CEO. And now, your host, Captain Capitalism himself, the world's only professional asshole, Aaron Clary.
Oh, there is not enough time. There is just not enough time. Look at the levels on this. Let me change this. Hang on. Is that it? Is that better? What's the gain on that? That's less gain. Sorry, I had to... Oh, it's still a little bit loud. Let's tune that down a bit. Sorry, I had an interview with Jason Hartman. You can find his podcast. And when they do the interviews, this Skype Google Hangout thing, they don't have the technology standardized or set yet. And so when I record directly here, recording my podcast, it gets a weak gain. But then when I'm on Skype, it's a huge gain. And I got a gain adjustment volume on my Yeti microphone. And then the last podcast, I forgot to change the adjustment. That's why if you were like, why can I barely hear Clary? You probably had to turn it up. And now I think I got it fixed. I got it figured. It's a Clary Podcast. How are you? I don't have time. There is no time. There is no time. I've been off the sauce for 13 days now, coming up on 2 weeks. And I know I said that I wasn't going to drink until I paid off my house, and that lasted for about 2 weeks, so we'll see if I go into the outer solar system on this one. But what happens when I don't drink is I go into a 30-hour day, essentially. And you say, well, why do you drink? Is that it? Yeah, you know, there's damn good reasons to drink. And you find out what they are when you sober up. Like, it is just like, oh yeah, now I remember why I drink. Just to... It's not to even get high, it's not to have the hit, it's not to have the rush, it's that things go away. You get just a happy neutral. You're not worried about shit, you're not worried about crap, you're in no rush, your body, your brain turns off and you can finally relax. I don't know, maybe that's just because I'm type A and I need some kind of assistance to just slow down, take it easy. And just, it's not even an issue of being, it's just, the edge is taken off. I can relax. And then when you don't drink, and then all of a sudden, bam, then the engines fire up. You get all this extra energy that you never wanted in the first place. And now I'm on my 30-hour day, where I constantly stay up later and later and later. Getting by on 5 hours sleep, then I stay up 25 hours. And then I woke up, and the reason I don't have time today, I woke up to the noon siren. You know the tornado siren that goes off? Never goes off when there's a tornado. It just goes off on, you know what, noon and three or whenever they test it. Oh, and then you ask, you know, if you're a kid of the 80s, you say, well, what if the Russians attacked at noon? Would we really know? Would we just stand outside? Oh, no, it's just the alarm. And then all of a sudden the bombers come over, and then there's nuclear blasts. Like, oh, I guess it's not an alarm. I always found that a very simple elementary flaw in the testing of the sirens. But yeah, that's what woke me up this morning. I woke up a little bit earlier, you know, I gotta go to the bathroom, whatever. You're kind of in your haze. And you crawl right back into bed. And I noticed it was light out, which doesn't really nail down the time. You just know it's not night. And all of a sudden, it's noon, maybe I ought to get up. So I did, went and got my coffee. And then also now, look, it's 3. I didn't have any, there's no time. Been writing the book, had to do, I haven't even gotten an asshole consulting yet. I just got all my basic crap done. Not to complain to you guys about my very busy schedule sleeping until noon. I know I'm not going to get any I'm getting crocodile tears, I know. But what I did learn, what I found out, because we actually have good weather now, finally. I went, did my coffee, and I'm banging out my work, and then I was going to start writing. I'm about a third done with the new book called Reconnaissance Man, and that'll be coming out hopefully in about 2 weeks. It's not a book. I really can't lie to you. It's a guide. It is a guide. I've been wanting to switch to these essays, because let's be honest, not every concept or idea requires a 500-page book. That's why I never understood people. How long should my book be? Are you kidding me? What do you? This is as long as it needs to be. The book does not determine the idea. The idea determines the book. And so I've been wanting to switch to some of these really interesting topics that just aren't widespread. They're very narrow. They're very focused, and they're just not going to take 300 pages to answer. This one I'm hoping. I hope it comes in under 100, because I really want it to be just a guide. I want to start doing essays because I have a ton of those. I have a handful of book ideas, but you know they're more meaty and they're going to take a little bit while longer. But this one I'm hoping is going to be my first argument and essay. But that's what I thought the Curse of the High IQ would be, and that ended up being about 180 pages. Oh, and I know you trolls. Oh, look, it's a small book and big fun. You just try. No, I don't do that, guys. You want to know somebody who does that? That Zakaria Fareed guy, when you look at his book, where he tries to, like, increase the font size, and then it's double space. You know, like when you're in the fourth grade, and it has to be 5 pages for your book report. And then you do every cheat, like, you increase your margins, so there's, like, 3-inch margins around the side of the perimeter of the page, and font size 18. That's what the Zakaria Fareed did. He had literally 15 pages of nothing. Just pages of nothing up front and 30 pages of notes. And they dare to call it a 200-page book. And when I really got through, it was more like only 150. I don't do that. I will write an essay. So anyway, to undermine the critiques, oh, look, he's going to claim it's a book. No, this isn't a book. It's going to be one of what will hopefully be many essays and arguments that, you know, like white papers, maybe a 50 page. That's what I'd really like to just have a 50-page paper. I really wanted to do booklets. The Mises Institute, they came out with a lot of just pocketbooks. That's what I really wanted to have, was pocketbooks, because that's all it is. It's just a pocketbook. You can thumb through it, and you put it in the back of your pocket. You're on a plane, you're on a train, you're on a boat, you're on a float. You know, just, okay, let's take a look at here and all there, and then you can read it. And unfortunately, Amazon doesn't have pocketbook size, so you kind of get this, whatever the size Curse of the High IQ was. That's the smallest size of the book. So that's why I want to write. But I woke up, I'm going to go start writing this. I get my coffee, I'm over at my bar, and I say, okay, now it's time to start writing. I'm like, you know what? I've spent an hour dicking around with email, responding, doing the daily stuff, my daily chores online that I have to do. I'm looking outside. It's absolutely gorgeous. I'm like, forget it. This is rare. It doesn't get this nice in Minnesota. I can always work at night because I'm staying up till 4 or 5 a.m. anyway. And that's what my schedule has become. I've been very disciplined. You guys be very proud of me. I've let go. Instead of work, and then we can play, I'm like, look at the beautiful day outside. Went for 2 great motorcycle rides over the course of the weekend because the sun was out. And then, logically, when it's dark out and everyone's asleep, then you write. Then you can always write at night. Write at night. So I posted, and then I did. I went for a nice motorcycle ride, got some nice Mexican food. Okay, it wasn't that great of Mexican food. It was one of those Mexican restaurants that looked like a legitimate Mexican restaurant, like it was actually ran by Mexicans. Like the one over in St. George, Utah. Alberto's. Or no, Alvero's. Alvero's. You gotta go. If you're ever in St. George, Utah, you guys gotta go there. So this kind of had that vibe, that theme. I was like, oh, look at that. Looks. And I've seen it. I've driven past it for 2 years now, and I always keep meaning to go and do it. And you get the old quote from Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Next time you say, let's go to someplace like Bolivia, let's go someplace like Bolivia. And so I drove past it last night. I'm like, dang it. Keep forgetting to go there. So I put it on the to-do list. If it doesn't get on the to-do list, it doesn't get done. So I said, damn it, I'm putting it on the to-do list. That's what I'm going to have for breakfast. Or lunch, depending on how you purists define it. I measure the meals of the day based in order, so I just had breakfast at 2 p.m. That's breakfast. Lunch will be whatever I eat at 6, and then dinner will be whatever I eat at 2 a.m. But I went out there, and like it looked legitimate. I looked at the menu, looked legitimate. They had a map of Mexico up. How much more authentic do you want it to be? And then I get the food. And I was supposed to get this cubed pork with a rojo sauce and spicy rice. I was going to get the spicy rice. I said, okay, here we go. Real Mexico. We're authentic. I'm going to live this dream for 2 years. Finally, it's going to culminate to now, to today, to 2 p.m., my breakfast on the 20th. And all they did was just put, they didn't have cubed pork. They said, oh, we got carnitas. I said, fine, give me carnitas. And then all it was the tortillas. I call it tortillas to piss off people in Phoenix, Arizona. The tortillas and the carnita, the meat. And there was no sauce, there was no veggies, there was no peppers. I'm like, what the hell is this? This isn't Mexican. I can make this. So I went home, diced up a jalapeno. Basically gave it flavor. And I was let down. My dream was destroyed. So now I won't be going to that Mexican restaurant ever again. I think I might go. They had a nice little patio you could sit out front. Like, if it wasn't bad food, the quality was all right. It just didn't have any flavor. It's just like, okay, this is, you didn't put any effort into it. I was let down. I guess I was expecting Alvaro's from St. George, Utah. I was hoping that something within driving distance that wasn't 2,000 miles away had equivalently good food to that Alvaro's over in St. George. But apparently, you're going to have to drive 2,000 miles to get legitimately good Mexican food. You guys got to check that place out. If you're ever out there in southwest Utah, right before you go into, not Nevada, but Arizona. Arizona juts out a little bit, and you drive through 20 miles of Arizona on the interstate. But you could just tell. I came in, what is it? I saw that restaurant. It was late night. Yeah, that's right. I came in and got my hotel, around 11. And I was just checking out St. George, knowing full well the bars were open because they're Mormon. But this place was open. It was open that late. And I saw a bunch of cop cars, ambulances, EMTs, and work trucks there. And I went in, sure, and that was like the biggest endorsement. When you got everybody working the dog shift, going to this Mexican restaurant, like, yep, that's it, that's good. And it was, it's just amazing. Seriously, I'm not joking. Go to this, out of all the restaurants I've been to, I'm trying to think of the best restaurants ever. And I go for flavor, not for scenery or anything like that. Jack's Cafe over in Northeast Minneapolis, if you ever come out here, that's really good. Durant's over in downtown Phoenix. The food is food, but the ambiance, you're not going to get any better than Durant's over in Phoenix, Arizona. This Mexican, Alvaro's, over in St. George, Utah. And I hate to say it, the original Potbelly over on Halstead Avenue in Chicago. I'm not fancy. I'm not a food snob. If it tastes like Chipotle, that's really the best food there ever was, like that you could get served regularly. You know, minus the salmonella and, you know, on their lemons and limes, when they're not food poisoning you. Or lording over you that everything is organic, GMO, whatever. Bill, we know Bill. Bill raises our cattle. It's like, oh, right, okay, already. Can I just get a fucking fajita without the goddamn moral lecturing? That and Target. Chipotle and Target, this smug, look at how green and organic and progressive and better than you are, that are we. We're just so good here at Target, and if you don't shop here, you're a racist and an inferior person because we're Target. Did you eat processed food? Well, fuck you. You're not as good as Chipotle because we do everything organic and genetic and no GMO. And it's all gluten-free. And it's all fair trade. Oh, just make me my fucking sandwich, bitch. Just make me the fucking burrito. Then you go in. I don't know if it seems to be more common over in Chipotle. But they must train these guys. There's an element of Wells Fargo starting to permeate into Chipotle. You know, like Wells Fargo, they go, hello, how are you? It's like, ah, shit, the fucking teller that's been programmed. No, they haven't been programmed. They've been threatened they'll get fired if they don't, like, suck your dick when you walk into the thing and ask if you need anything and try and sell you on five different products.
Hello, Mr. Clary. It's nice to see you today. I don't know you. Who the hell are you?
Are you my best friend from the war? We haven't seen each other in 5 years. Who the fuck are you?
You're 20. Shut the fuck up. Take my check. Give me my fucking money. How are you? Have plans this weekend? The whole rigmarole. You know you go through that. And then I've noticed this, it happens at Chipotle now. Except they're more cool and casual. They're trying to be hipstery about, hey, how you doing? Hey, Chaz, shut the fuck up and put some sour cream on that fajita, okay? All right. Yeah, man, we'll get you a burrito bowl, right? Just. Would you like something else on that? Yeah, your teeth after I punch you in your fucking face, Skippy. Now take your 17-year-old punk junior and it's not their fault. I know. Some management fuck over at Chipotle says, hey, we want it to be more fun. Yeah, hey, yeah. All right, we'll get that right up for you, sir. All right, some hot sauce. Yeah, getting there. It's like, I'm going to take that ladle of hot sauce and put it in your fucking eye. We don't... For you middle... I can't say middle-aged fucks. Well, I guess we are middle-aged. It's not the baby boomers anymore. It's Gen X now. But they're all middle management. For you middle management fucks, can you stop trying? Can you just let us go and get... We want tasty food. That's it. We want our checks cashed and cleared. That's all we want. And then we want to get the fuck out of there as quickly as possible. I don't want to become friends with Chippy over there. I don't want to become friends with Chaz. I don't want to become friends with Madison. I don't want them giving editorial about, wow, the hot sauce, man. Oh, you want corn? All right, we got your maize right here. Did you go to, like, Barnum Bailey's circus training academy to train in your... Just, we don't want jokes cut. We don't want shit. We don't want to have conversation. We want well-trained monkeys to take quality ingredients, put them together, make us a fucking burrito without a lecture or a sermon or a moral. That's the only reason people go to Chipotle is because it tastes good. It could come from slave cows or veal or the most horrendously bad. It tastes good. Now, maybe it tastes good because it's organic and that. Fine. But you don't have to shove that in our face. No one goes to Chipotle because of your politics, you dumb shits. If they do, it's less than 2 or 3% of the population. Most people go there because it tastes great. That's it. Most people go to Wells Fargo because they want their fucking banking done. It's not an experience. It's not a trip. It's not a destination point. It's a place to put reasonably tasty food in our mouths that go and sustain our gut. That's it. Don't make it more complicated than that.
Although Qdoba, I get a kick out of Qdoba. Hey, Qdoba, you're all, yeah, yeah, I guess it's not the same as Chipotle. At least they don't lecture you or moralize over you. But it's kind of, oh, it's not McDonald's, it's Burger King, it's Wendy's. I get Burger King's a different, I think Wendy's always tries to. Everyone want to go to McDonald's. I don't want to go to Qdoba. It's not the same as Chipotle. And it isn't. They're not as tasty. I mean, they'll get you through, don't worry. Like, oh, yeah, okay. If you want to do the non-carb thing, you could get pretty good quality food there. It's good. They got sauces. Don't get me wrong. But they don't lecture you or moral you. The one thing they will do, though, however, Qdoba, the one thing I wish they try so hard to beat Chipotle. They really do. But where I will give them credit, they don't have the lecturing and the moralizing. We're GMO-free. We're just like Target. We're better than all of you fucking racist assholes. They try to pipe in that new age hipster Chipotle music. Like, Chipotle must say, hey, we got a direct line to the shitty, never going to be up and coming artists. Not even the one hit wonders. Like, if your music was only played on Chipotle, you are failed as an artist. You are not going anywhere. That's kind of like the death knell. Like, if you say, oh yeah, Chipotle wants my music. Nope, that is a sign from God Almighty himself. Telling you, no, you should go become an accountant, go become an actuary, go join the military, become a Navy SEAL. You are not to become an artist. If your music is being piped through over at Chipotle, it's over for you. That's it. But then Qdoba tries to do the same. I walked in. This is recent. This is, I don't know if it's nationwide, but I walked in. I forget where I was. It was like the only thing in town. Maybe it was Missoula. There's a Qdoba in Missoula. There's a poem in there somewhere. There's a Qdoba in Missoula. Why don't you come fishing with me? There's a Qdoba in Missoula. 1 + 1 = 3. Which it doesn't, I know. But if you're a liberal, what the hell? But yeah, Qdoba, they just all of a sudden, I'm like, no, no. Come on, come on. You don't have the lecturing and the morals. You don't want to try to be hipster like your older brother, Qdoba. Don't play this shitty, wannabe, crappy, nah, they play it. Because that's what Chipotle did. We got to do what Chipotle does. You guys, I started watching the Muppet Show as an adult. I was, because I hadn't seen it since the 7 years. You're a kid and you didn't like, you know, Disney movies or anything else. You think, oh, it's for kids. And then you find out there's some adult humor. But the thing with the Muppet Show, I was never that big of a fan of the Muppet Show as a kid. Like, you saw the cartoon, but things didn't add up. And then there were just, like, some things that were outright scary. It really, like, the fashion. Jesus Christ, what the hell is Gonzo? Who put that? You look at it, you're like, okay, these guys were on drugs when they decided to come up with these and create these characters. Kermit the Frog's the most normal one. And even he's kind of more of a pedophile, you know, just... Hey, kids, want to come in the van? Yeah, fuck you, Kermit. That's. But you look at Gonzo, you had to be tripping on something to come up with that character. Let's come up with, like, some kind of bird-like thing with a purple hook and big bulgy eyes. Like a mosquito bird. We don't know what the hell he is. Fozzie Bear. Okay, we'll give him that polka dot ascot. And then that band. Okay, Animal was cool. Animal was pure... what was it, Id, or Super Ego? He was just off the rock. Everyone liked Animal, but that band, but what's the name of the band? Let's look this up. The Muppets Band. There's that guy with the hat. God almighty, give you kids nightmares. That guy looks like a murderer. Okay, Muppets Band. Dr. Teeth. Dr. Teeth and the Electrical Mayhem. Oh my god. Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem is a Muppet rock house band of the Muppet Show. Dr. Teeth and Animal were designed by Jim Henson. Yeah, I'd say. Yeah, Dr. Look at that guy. Ooh. Dr. Teeth. That's the guy with the teeth and the red beard. And Janice. Yeah, she was the gal. Never had eyes. Animal. Floyd Pepper. And Zoot. Oh my gosh. In season 5 of the show, Lips joined the band on trumpet. Animal, Floyd, and Zoot also played the Muppet Show Pit Band, performing the opening and closing themes. And underscore. Da-da-da-da-da. Dr. Teeth. Yeah, this guy. Whoever came up. Like, well, this is for kids? I mean, really, look at Dr. Teeth. You want your kids to have neither, which means it wasn't made for kids. Which, as an adult, I start getting the funny jokes and humor. I start seeing where all the guest celebrities... There was a waiting list of guest celebrities that wanted to be on The Muppet Show. Kind of like people who wanted to star as a villain in the old 60s Batman. They're like people like, you know, very serious actors, very talented artists that wanted to get... Because it was for adults. But these guys, they never thought about, like, the kids. They thought, oh, yeah, it's a kid's show. But God almighty, these people. Look, baby boomers, drugs in the 70s and making kids shows doesn't work. I had the same suspicion about Mr. Rogers. Not that he was a drug, I just didn't trust Mr. Rogers. There was something off about him. Not that the pedophile vibes were going on, but maybe it was just too boring for me. But, you know, that cat, meow, 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 meow. What the fuck was that? And then there's the king, and they go to the land of make-believe, and you're in this guy's house, and why is he changing his shoes? Just, and now the guy, you know, Mr. Rogers himself, what, he's a Presbyterian minister, certainly loved kids, was not a pedophile. But, like, no effort goes into, like, figuring out what kids actually want. Didn't like Sesame Street either. Kind of like, I like Bert and Ernie, but the rest of it just kind of, I think they were trying to educate you too much. Hey, we're going to force you to learn. Oh, no, you're going to have 13 years of hell with school, K through college, high school. But we're going to try and teach you now. I'm like, no, I don't want to learn my ABCs. The Count was cool. I'll admit the Count, Bert and Ernie, and Oscar the Grouch. Those were kind of cool guys. But then, you know, Big Bird, eh. You don't want to go get ice cream with Big Bird. You. I stuck a grouch. He hated it. He didn't want you to have anything. Bert and Ernie, you could chum with. You know, you'd love hanging out with Bert and Ernie. Oh, boy, those guys would be fun to play with. Cookie Monster. Of course, Cookie Monster. That's probably the most innocent one, the Cookie Monster. Yeah. But the rest of that Mr. Rogers and Sesame Street. No, wait, it's just something wrong. Just something like they tried and they failed because they forgot what it was like to be children. I did like Captain Kangaroo. Captain Kangaroo, he was just more of kind of like a, what do they call it, the circus master or the ringmaster. He was just the guy, he merely played the mortar for the bricks, the go-between, what would you call it? He was merely the quiet host between the was it the moose with the ping pong balls and all the other different skits that he had. Yeah, I could trust Captain Kangaroo. But no, the Muppets, no way. No, they're all on pot. They're all going to get you to go in their van. No. I mean, even Kermit. No. Although I did have an economist, a professor in economics. A friend of mine says, hey, he sounds like Kermit the Frog. I'm like, what? He's like our professor, yeah? He sounds like Kermit the Frog. I'm like, really? He said, yeah, just close your eyes and listen. And sure as shit, I'm like, oh my God. When supply equals demand, we get equilibrium. Yay! I forgot his name. I wish I could have remembered because, honest to God, I was like, this guy should have had a podcast. This guy would have had a podcast. It would have been Kermit the Frog, the economist, having a... Well, you see, the Federal Reserve policy is currently at a ZERP interest rate policy status right now. And combined with fiscal policy, hopefully we can get a Keynesian stimulus to boost economic growth and lower the GDP to our debt to GDP figures. Yay! All right, let's go do some sponsors here. Hang on. There is my GoFundMe campaign. I'm only going to charge $1 million to go see the Ghostbusters movie when it comes out. I may not see it opening night. I know I said I would, but I may actually be on a boat. I know this so sucks. Have rich friends. If I have some advice, have rich friends. If you can, if you have the choice, find rich friends. Buddy down in Florida, he's got a boat. He's like, hey, let's go from St. Petersburg down to the Florida Keys. I'm like, cool, yeah, let's do that. Hang on, I'll be down in a second. So I think I might be on a boat when that movie comes out. I'm not sure, though. It's after 4th of July. It's like July 15th this movie comes out. Anyway, so if you want to donate money or just spread the word around that this movie is so bad, someone's going to require $1 million to go see it. You could go fund me on my See the Ghostbusters campaign or See the Ghostbusters movie. I should probably get the link, huh? That might help. It was a spoof. It was more of an editorial like, maybe I'll make a couple bucks. I think I already got 200 donated already, so that's enough to go see it. So we have that. If you'd also like to advertise on the podcast and the Clary Online Media Empire, certainly contact me. You can go to captaincapitalism.blogspot.com. Find my contact information on the blog and the About section about me. And we got about 3,000 listeners weekly on the podcast. I have 24,000. We broke the 24,000 mark on the YouTube subscribers. What else? I get about, 25,000 visits, unique visits a month on the old blog. I got some cred. I got some reach. So if you want to reach a bunch of predominantly men under 50 type of guys of the conservative libertarian faith, plus some pretty good looking women, you can have me plug the hell out of your goods or services for $100 a month. Speaking of goods and services and plugging the hell out of them, Chad Elkins. You can find him at elkinscpa.com. If you're looking for an accountant for financial advice, tax advice, or whatever, go ahead and contact him. Contact him now before all of a sudden he is spoken for when it comes tax time. Because if you wait for April the 14th, he's not going to be able to help you. Matter of fact, he's probably closed up shop for the season. He says, screw it, I'm taking the day off tomorrow. Then we have the podcast archive. If you want to get an archive of the show, let me know. They've been archived because of storage reasons. And for $30, I will put it on a thumb drive, give you episodes 25 through 100. Don't ask where the first 25 episodes went. They're gone, okay? Don't ask. But I'll go ahead and mail that to you there. I'm not trying to screw you or stab you for price. I am merely charging for the cost of the thumb drive, my time mailing the thing, and it's a pain in the ass to go to the post office. That's basically what it boils down to. Then we have the League of Extraordinary Podcasters. You can go to 405media.com, find everybody over there, a bunch of different podcasters through the basically radio station of podcasts hosted by John Grant. We have Silvio Conta's Conto Talk. You can find that on Blog Talk Radio. Jason Hartman, he has two, or actually he's got more than two. He's got, I think, like three or four different podcasts ranging from the Swank Lifestyle to real estate investing, and you go ahead check in with Jason Hartman. We have Free Domain Radio. That's Stefan Molyneux's outfit. You can go to freedomainradio.com. Geek Out with the Beckloff. You can find him on YouTube, BECHTLOFF. The Black Brigade Debrief with DT and the Man. You can find that at blackbrigade.org. Financial Survival Network. That's with Kerry Lutz over at financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Our good friend, St. Likas, St. Tom Likas at blowmeuptom.com. You guys all know him. And as I mentioned before, if you want to advertise your wares, you have to go to Tom Likas first. He's got a way larger reach than I do and much more loyal. I don't know. We got all pretty loyal listeners here. But yeah, if you are an aspiring entrepreneur and you have a product that you think will do well with men or women, go to blowmeuptom.com and have Gary take care of you. Gary will get back to you ASAP. Matt Tran over at Engineered Truth. You can find him on YouTube. And then Crush the Street, also on YouTube. And then Adam Piggott, Pushing Rubber Downhill, the blog, the book, and now the podcast. So you can just search Pushing Rubber Downhill, find his website, and then obviously he advertises it all there. So you can find books and podcasts as well. Glorious Carl, offering Glorious Hat at glorioushat.com. Go to glorioushat.com and get yourself a genuine Ushanka hat made with real fake dead animal, not fake dead koala, which got Matt in trouble. Oh no, we can't kill the koalas, heaven forbid. I should get koala gloves. Oh, what are that? They're koala gloves. You killed a koala? Yeah. Are koalas endangered? Hang on, let's find out. Everything's endangered because that's basically what the environmentalists want. They want to ban you from anything. Are koalas endangered? Koalas endangered. Each Australian state has its own endangered species. In New South Wales, the koala bear is listed as vulnerable. Are there any species listed as stable? I swear to God. Posers, these fakes, these everything's, oh my God, it could go in anyone. Ah, shut up. They're not endangered. Go kill as many as you want. Veer with the truck if they wander out of their little eucalyptus tree and onto the highway. Now watch, everyone from Australia is going to call it. Hey, it's very good. Asshole Consulting, if you are interested in getting your shit together and you are serious about it, go to assholeconsulting.com if you value my opinion and you're willing to fork over a couple bucks, right? If you want someone to lie to you, just go hire regular consultants. If you want the truth and to solve your problems, hire an asshole. Hire me, the world's only professional asshole at assholeconsulting.com. If you also do any online shopping, go and use my Amazon affiliate program. You can go to captaincapitalism.blogspot.com. Click on the Amazon banner. It's up to the top right, right below the Curse of the High IQ banner. And it may be missing if you're using some of the newer browsers because these have automatic ad blocker. And I contacted Amazon. I said, hey, you know, you guys got to do this little arms race here because now the browsers are automatically blanking out your ads. I didn't even click ad block. It just automatically does it now. And they say, yeah, there's really nothing we can do about it. I'm like, well, you guys probably want to, you know, think of something. You know, maybe if I hack, I need an HTML expert. I'm pretty good at kind of figuring out the logic in HTML. I can read it, and then I could try to splice it or reverse engineer it myself. So if I don't have like one of their standard, the HTML, they give you an HTML code when you go to the Amazon affiliate plan. They say, okay, if you want this banner, just highlight this text, put it in the HTML gadget on your Blogger template, and then it'll pop up, and it does. But you can usually tweak it by going directly to the source code and kind of figuring out. I don't know what is tripping Chrome or Firefox or Edge to say, don't have this show up. So if I can delete that but still keep the link that would tell Amazon, hey, it came from Cappy, but then it would actually still show up. Maybe that's what I got to do. So I got to figure out what is the code that I got to delete or tweak a little bit so it still shows up. Any HTML experts out there? Anybody? Please contact me. I'd be very thankful. I'll send you a couple bucks too if you got a quick little fix for this, because it is no doubt costing me money. Anyway, if you would be so kind, turn off your ad blocker and do all your online shopping by first going to my blog first, clicking on that banner, which then tells Amazon, hey, this came from Cappy, so I get that money. And I get a 7% cut, costs you nothing more. So yeah, if you just develop the habit of doing all your online shopping first by going through my site, I would really appreciate it. It would mean a lot to me. And then I could retire early and buy my place in South Dakota and get the fuck out of Minneapolis. Boom, boom, boom. Academiccomposition.com. I'm sure business is slow during summer at academiccomposition.com, but that means if you're looking for a job coming this upcoming school year and you don't want to do physical labor or anything like that, you can go ahead and write or market for Alex over at academiccomposition.com. The jobs are boring. You're going to have to write boring academic papers. For liberal arts, you're going to have to hold your nose and say Marx was this great man, even though neither he nor any of his followers have actually succeeded at anything they've ever tried, except living off of other people and parasiting, which is about 100% true. You want to talk about the biggest group of losers? I mean, seriously, I'm not saying it because of ideological reasons. I'm talking about empirical, historical performance reasons. You want to talk about the genuine losers of society, that would be the Marxists. That would be, everything works if you would all just do what we say and be our slaves, man. Oh, but anyway, if you can write bullshit and just tell the adjunct teachers, not even professors, the people with their master's degrees in sociology or whatever worthless studies they have, you know, tell them what they want to hear so they feel good about themselves. Yeah, if you could write those kind of papers, go to academiccomposition.com, become a writer. And contact Alex. I don't see his email. What is it? Maybe you shouldn't apply to academiccomposition.com. If you can't understand the instructions, go to academiccomposition.com and send Alex an email. It's info at academiccomposition.com. It's the only email. Just send him an email. It'll get to Alex.
Well, I don't see Alex anywhere.
Okay, yeah, it's not for you. It's not for you. Like Chad Elkins, I try to make sure that my clients get quality, good staff and clientele, okay? I don't want them having problem loans. Oh, still in the banking deja vu. Problem clients. That's the number one benefit of being an entrepreneur. You get to fire your clients. You get to control who your clients are. And if you choose the right clients, you can bang out so much more work rather than dealing with problem clients. So don't be a problem employee for Alex. Do the Philippines by Matt Forney. Go to mattforney.com. Check out all of his different books and essays over at mattforney.com. He also has a podcast and a blog. He has his own online media empire there. So go visit Matt. You can also visit Ann Sturzinger at annsturzinger.com. She has her book out, Nazcuam, which I still have yet to read. I got to read Roosh's book. I got to read Matt Tran's book. I got Janet Bloomfield's book right here. Haven't read it yet. It's just her her best of her blog called Feminism. And if you like hatred and vitriol, that'd be Janet. It's good. If you want ranty, if you want a good ranty book, read Feminism. And then my two classes, the analysis evaluation of stocks and stocks, bonds, investing, oh my. If you want to learn how to invest in stocks, take the analysis evaluation of stocks. If you're a noob or a rookie to finance and investing and financial planning and retirement planning, take my beginner's course called Stocks, Bonds, Investing, Oh My. You can find those online just by searching the title. The analysis evaluation of stocks and Stocks, Bonds, Investing, Oh My. You can find those online offered at hundreds of different community ed, nonprofit, school, academia, touchy-feely type places. Some even for profit. And since it's online, don't, you know, go wherever it's cheapest. It doesn't matter where, I mean, go wherever it's cheapest. Even though that would cost me money, I'm just saying, you know, go where it's cheapest because it's online. I mean, unless you wanted credit for it, then you'd have to go to an accredited place. Like, you know, don't take it your community ed, take it through a college. And it's cake, guys. It's just cake. It's just, there's, you don't even have to do the assignments. We don't have to do the, no, I don't want you to do the assignments because then I got to look at the assignments and it takes more time out of my day. Reminded me of when I taught college in economics. There was two places I taught economics, two community colleges. The first one, I did it, quote, the right way. I'm like, okay, we're going to have papers and tests, and we're going to really teach economics. We're going to have rigor, and it'll be tough, but it'll be the greatest class you ever took. And then I realized, oh, I'm teaching millennials and younger Gen Xers, the most pathetic people on the face of the planet. I said, forget it. And then the next school I taught at, I made the hurdle so low you had to dig a trench to bury the hurdle. That's how low the hurdle was. It wasn't even above ground. I remember I would, it was so bad slash good slash easy. Once you learn to stop caring, once you learn that you weren't there to educate the kids, you're just there to pass them along, and you just did that, you gave pretty much everybody A's, maybe the real idiots B's, but you just like, here you go, and you didn't assign homework, you didn't assign, papers are dumb. Oh my God. If you are a teacher, you are a fool to assign papers. And let's be honest, okay, look, all you teachers and professors out there, come on, come on, be honest. You don't care about these kids. You don't care if they graduate. You don't care if they learn. You just want them to give you good reviews, okay? You want the prisoners running the insane asylum. You want to make the prisoners happy. You want to make the inmates happy. So just make it easy on yourself and never issue. Papers are so hard. They're subjective. You got to read through them all. I did it once. I say never again. If I'm ever a teacher or professor, there will never be papers. Never. Because then you give them an A minus. They always come up in wine. B plus. Anything that's not an A. Shut the fuck up. Wish I had a roll of paper. Say, if you want to come up and complain about your grade, I get to hit you with this paper like a dog the entire time. No, that's your grade. Shut the fuck up. Although I do remember, like, the first time I had my students write a paper, I was foolish. I had, like, this expectation. And so I started grading, you know, like, C, D, C, D. And then I started reading, you know, and I got, like, the best batch of the first papers that I had. Ended up being the best papers written, but by my standards, they were very marginal. They were like C minus quality. And then I started reading the other ones at like F minus to the 15th power. I mean, just horribly written papers. So I had to go back and read like the ones I was giving C minus is like A plus. Shit, you spelled correctly. Use spell check. Your points were reasonably cogent. You talked about the economy at hand. You didn't talk about your fucking dog. B plus. Oh, where were we? I don't know. Anyway, yeah, take my classes. And you don't have to worry about assignments. Don't do the assignments. The assignments are optional. The test is multiple choice. That's the only thing that counts is the final. The multiple choice test at the final at the end. 36 questions. Open book test. It's right there. You can print it all off. You can highlight it. Even to this day, I get a kick out of it because this is more adult education, you know, community education. So people you'd think be a little bit more mature, and they are. They are. They're like, I'm here for the knowledge. But, you know, once every 2 months or so, once every two classes, well, I disagree that the answer to, shut up. Shut up. You idiot moron, compared to me in terms of the vast knowledge of finance and economics, you're going to argue with me about whether or not a question is right or wrong. You're going to nitpick with me. This is like me going to people who built the Saturn V rocket and debating Kepler's laws of physics or arguing calculus with them. Or going to Beyonce and nitpicking her singing technique. It'd be like me going to Matt Baldoni and telling him he's playing guitar wrong. The ego and entitlement of some of these people. Again, not vast majority, not even the vast, less than 1%, but every once in a while.
You get that thing that harkens back to the olden days when I was back in college teaching these fucking idiot kids. And I think, don't you think it's like, what? This doesn't count for anything. You got one question wrong. You still got an A. Get your dick out of my ass. Go away. No, I'm not changing it. I don't think I ever did that with a professor. There was maybe like I go in and I say, why is this wrong? Because I wanted to know for a fact, well, you forgot to carry the one, or, oh, you used the wrong formula. It should have been this formula. And, oh, okay, you know, but you had the right idea and it, da-da, okay, and then you learn, okay, that's what it is. But these people that pointlessly aim to, like, get 100% or just get a better grade through whining and bitching and complaining and moaning. See, at least I had self-respect. I was honest back in high school. I said, what? C minus? Great. As long as it's not a D, my parents won't give a shit. No, I'm not going to argue for more. No, you're right. I was doing my homework on the bus on the way to school. No, I was doing my homework right before it was due. I got to ask a question of you teachers out there, the real ones, the good teachers out there. You actually care about the students, and that's why you listen to this show. After a while, do the students inevitably break your back? Like, you just give up? Because these kids, they're mailing it in. You see them scribbling frantically at the last moment. And you know as an adult, I now know as an adult, I look at that and I'm like, it doesn't make sense, younger Clary. Why didn't you just do your homework when it was due? And me, not forgetting what it was like to be a child, I remember because it sucked. And it was stupid. And it was pointless. And it was dumb. And maybe it was really intelligent, but by that time, by the time you spent even 3 years in school, your brain is turned off to the real world. You could have come up and say, here's the secret to happiness and riches in the universe. And I don't think even more than 3% of the students would have paid attention. You know, those 4.0ers, the perfect kids. You know, they're, oh my God, 4.0. Because you could have had genuine geniuses that could have capitalized on the world's knowledge of the secret of happiness and riches, and they would have just been completely checked out because the previous teachers just put them into a coma. Wake up at 6 a.m., catch the bus at 7, ride with a bunch of fucking retards. Listen, I don't know if it was your way on the bus, but we would, this is in the 80s, we'd listen to KQRS, the morning show, and they play Pink Floyd and Great White, and all these shitty-ass hair bands, and you just had to suffer that. And then by the time you walk off the bus, you hadn't even ran into one of the inferior subhumans called teachers yet. You hadn't even ran into one of those low-IQ people yet to have your brain melt. Your brain was already tuned out. You went to homeroom, and you just sat to say, what the fuck is the point of homeroom? Why am I here? Is this just to take attendance? Why don't we take attendance in the first class? You don't even get to that level of philosophicizing. You're just, yeah, want another 7 hours, okay. 13 years of comatose. So, I mean, I gotta ask you teachers out there, I'd love to, please send an email. You gotta give up after a while, right? Like, when you see these kids, they're coming in like zombies, they're doing their homework on the bus, they just don't give a shit. I mean, do you teach to, like, the top 5% that actually have a vested interest and are taking their studies seriously and then just kind of make it so the rest of the kids can float in? And I'm not talking even inner city. I'm talking, like, regular old school. Old schools suck. They all suck, even the private schools, sometimes especially the private schools. This concept, like, it's Hogwarts and your teachers are really intelligent and know their shit and are inspiring and they keep you engaged so you have this vested interest in doing your best academically, that's in Hogwarts. That's in the movies. That's the only place I've ever seen it. But every other school, when you force these kids, inevitably you guys have got to, like, break, right? Or not break or lower your standards. You just become more practical. You're just like, you know what? Screw it. I'm done. I'm going to get my 20 years in or my 25 years in or whatever the hell it is we give you guys a pension you don't deserve at. And then I'm done. I just got to last another 5 years. I've seen teachers like that. One of my better friends, I haven't seen her in years, a little bit older, probably 50 by now. And maybe she is retired. I don't know. But nice, kind, caring. Name was Gloria. Wonderful gal.
genuinely cared about the teachers. And I know I hate teachers, and I know I slam on you all, but, I mean, please allow for the 1% or 2% of you that actually do give a shit about your kids. She was one of the 1% or 2%. And she just kind of, she knew. She had that knowledge that I finally picked up in, like, 2005, where it's like, you know what? You just got to let go and not give a shit anymore. You just got to let go. So she'd go in, like, a lot of the younger teachers I knew were complaining about the state, forcing this curriculum, and we need this thing, and management's not lit. And she knew enough to just let it go. What is it? Yep, that's what we're going to do. And she'd try her best to kind of help educate the kids. But in the end, she says, you know what? This bullshit about it being for the kids, this bullshit about helping the youth in the future of the country, no, it can't be done in the current system that we got now. And she started viewing it as a job. She just viewed it as a way to make money and put food on the table. And she did. And I mean, and she didn't start mailing it in, but I'm sure she adapted to make it much easier on her while still giving the opportunity for the smarter kids to have whatever, you know, to reach their potential. But then just basically, what is it, quieting the masses, satiating the masses, so you give them their C+ or their B-, and they just get the hell out of your face and you pass them along. You can't say that they're actually honestly earning their B+ and C-, and you can't say you guys aren't passing them along, because look at these dipshits that are getting into college. I mean, these idiot kids over at Mizzou. I mean, I know this is their racist, white hatred, Black Thugs Matter group. But, I mean, really, look at all these protesters. Look at these people. Look at their lack of logic. I'm not even talking the politics. Look at how stupid they are and how unprepared they are and the total lack of work ethic. And they just expect everything to be handed to them. And if they don't get it, they'll go blame some boogeyman they've been predisposed to blame. You got to admit, nobody taught them rigor, academics, intellectual honesty, a work ethic. No one held them to this. You just passed them through. And now they're getting into college. Oh, so yeah, go take my classes online, and I'll pass you through with flying colors. Matter of fact, I don't even do it. It's all automated. It's all computerized. I don't grade papers. That's the benefit of having multiple choice. It was so bad, I even remembered, like, I had them create their own final. Like, okay, everybody submit 3 questions. We'll take the best questions. I literally just cut out. They'd write it down with multiple choice, and then I would cut it. I'd tape it to a piece of paper, and I'd photocopy the papers. And I'd make tests out of it. Okay, all right, hand the paper to the guy behind you. There's your grades. I wouldn't even check to see if their buddy behind him gave him an A+. Like, nope, zero wrong, 100%. There you go. Give me the papers. There you go. You're all wonderful winners. Oh, you're all such brilliant economists and statisticians. Oh, I'll let the real world beat the ever-living shit out of you. Which is cool. It actually has. That's the other thing. Is I remember these students are such assholes, such fucking belligerent, ungrateful little pieces of shit. And it's one of those things where you think they're winning and you're losing, or at least it's not just, like, these kids are not. And then it dawned, I mean, it wasn't until I wrote Worthless and started realizing some things. These kids were shelling out $37,000 for this fly-by-night degree mill to get degrees that weren't accredited. They bankrupted themselves. And what's great is I know one of the schools is not out of business yet. So that still means that these kids are on the hook for those loans. When they go bankrupt, it's a private school and they made a private loan, those loans are forgiven. It's the federal loans, the federally guaranteed loans that are not dismissible in bankruptcy. Now this is over, 13, 14 years ago I taught. But I would love to see some of these people. I should look them up on Facebook. The only problem is I don't remember their names. I know a couple. I stayed in contact with them because they're good kids. They end up becoming successful accountants and entrepreneurs and things like that. But then there were these catty broads. They just thought they were so intelligent. The travel and hospitality majors, they thought they were going to go find Mr. Big on a cruise ship as they got paid to eat caviar and drink mimosas while they were hostesses or something like that. Oh, I'd love to see where those group of fat cattle went. Where did those sows and heifers go? What happened to their lives? Oh, I don't know. Should we do some news? Yeah, let's do some news.
Now, listen, man, I like the news. You guys like the news?
This one's from 14 days ago. I haven't gotten around to it because I'm lazy and busy. All at the same time, lazy and busy. The story of my life. This is from monkknee.com. 78% of NFL football players, obviously. NFL players go bankrupt within 5 years. An NBA in, and they don't say it. 78% of NFL football players and 60% of NBA players, and a very large percentage of Major League Baseball players, four times that of the average U.S. citizen, file bankruptcy within 5 years of retirement. Let's take a look at five possible reasons why the average athlete is destined to go quickly from fame to shame. If data from Mint.com is accurate, the average athlete is destined to go quickly from fame to shame. Here are five possible reasons why. Overspending. Scott Berkue, a financial accountant for professional athletes, believes this group spends like mad and blows their savings too rapidly, he says. They see their salaries as infinite, like it doesn't end, like they can't spend it all, but if you get $5 million a year, by the time you get done paying our agent, or your agent, and taxes, you have $2 million left to spend. Two, career duration. The average career span in the NBA, MLB, and NFL is 4.8, 5.6, and 3.5 years, respectively. The shelf life of athletes is tiny. Professionals in the industry have a small window to make their millions, and if they don't, they cannot survive on their savings for very long, even if they saved responsibly. I know they get paid millions, but you gotta wonder. Like, I remember, like, starting at 5 years old, they started shoving sports down our throat. You gotta wonder if that's worth it. Like, the average one, you know, 3.5 years in NFL, 5 years for NBA, 5 years for baseball. I mean, you bust your ass off basically for 15 years, and you go, and then that, and you got a plan B? I'm not talking Joe Mauer and all these guys that get a $100 million contract, where you'd really have to work hard at it to spend through all that money. But is that worth it? I mean, you make your two, like, let's just say you're some fullback, you know, you're a freaking nobody, just a big guy, and you make your $2 million and you injure yourself. Is that worth it? Was that worth for 15 years? Lack of financial knowledge. Ed Batowski of Chapwood Capital Investment Management believes athletes don't understand finances. Really? You mean their communications degrees really didn't help them with the maths? These fucking morons. I remember. And I have very little. I have some respect for the athletes, and it takes a lot to do it. But I remember I was working security at the U of M campus one time. And keep in mind, the University of Minnesota, they've never offered anything in terms of genuine athletes that made it pro. Nobody's ever made it big. After, and I watched some fucking sports nerd who never threw a ball in his life. He's going, 1967, Joe Schmo came out. Yeah, shut up. Anyway, we never won anything. I don't think Minnesota's won anything. The college, I mean. And so I was patrolling something, and there's this guy sleeping on the couch. I say, hey, you got an ID? And you could be in. You know, I don't mind you sleep on the couch in this atrium. I'm like, I have to show you my ID. I'm like, yeah, actually you do, because this building's closed. And, you know, you could be here. I just got to make sure you're a student. That's all. I'm not showing you. You're harassing me. He's like, I play football. I don't have to. I'm like, yeah, you play football. Oh, he did. I mean, he was a big man. There was no doubt about it. I wouldn't doubt him. He probably did play football. But this idiot, this fucking moron, just thought because he played football that he was somehow better than everybody else and the rules didn't apply to him. And what I can only imagine with that attitude, not to mention, you're a fucking moron on top of it. You're not majoring in chemical engineering. You're not really doing a real study. How many of these scandals have broke where you find out other people are doing the homework? Or even over at North Carolina, University of North Carolina, turned out their African American studies program was nothing but a bunch of bullshit. Like, they weren't even testing these kids. They weren't having them take papers. They were just passing them along. People weren't even showing up for classes. Classes didn't exist. So, you know, I don't care how many millions of dollars you throw into hands of these idiots, they'll piss it away. They will manage to piss it away because they are that stupid. Not to mention lacking of genuine work ethic. Athletes see prominent people spending money and they believe they have to, that their spending pattern should be the same. However, athletes fail to take into account that those prominent members have spent a lifetime learning about financial responsibility and budget strategies. Four, poor investment decisions. According to Batowski, athletes are targets for poor investment pitches. He says chronic overallocation into real estate and bad private equity. I don't even call it private equity. It's like your dipshit buddy, your friend from your childhood days wants to open up a nightclub, and you're a dumb enough idiot to go ahead and finance it.
What was it? Matt Burke? Not to pick on Matt Burke. What was it? Matt Burke. Matty B's. Matt Burke. Football. Bar. Matt Burke, Purdue, blah, blah, blah. He was a football player, Matt Burke. In the sixth round, played for the Ravens, played college, two all-time pro NFL career. Due to surgery, yeah, his but here it is, almost to the penny. He had a five-year career. Baltimore Ravens personal. Pro-life activist, smartest athlete. Well, then how come his bar didn't stay open? There's this great bar. He had jazz. It was downtown St. Paul called Manny B's. And we go there. And, oh, it was nice. I really liked it. And that thing was open for like three years. I don't know. Maybe he sold out. He didn't want. Now it's something else like the Rockin' Lobster. Some stupid ass shit. But there you go. I mean, there's your, quote, private equity. No, you don't invest in restaurants, morons. Guys don't invest in restaurants. You don't lend money to your buddies. Oh, one who will launch an album. How many of the NBA stars, you know, they got their buddies back from the ghetto? Oh, yeah, they're going to launch their rap album, I'm sure. Is the number one problem in terms of financial meltdown. I've never seen more people come to me about raising money for those kind of deals than athletes. Hanging with the bad crowd? No, they all come from responsible STEM majoring, you know, places. Now what? I thought I turned this phone off. I swear I turned it off. Apparently not. Hanging with the bad crowd. Athletes often do try to be responsible with their savings. No, there is no do or do not. They're try or try not. Do or do not, there is no try. Try to be responsible. They fail miserably. However, they pick the wrong financial advisors. The NFL Players Association has claimed that 78 players lost a total of $42 million between 1999 and 2002 as a result of bad financial advisors. In fact, Bob Young, managing director of Apex Wealth Management, says athletes often don't know who manages their savings. He said that he frequently asks players how they're doing financially, and they often respond, "I have no idea, but all my bills are paid by someone else." Very quick thoughts on my own. This is very disconcerting. If the NFL and NBA data is correct, that's a high rate of bankruptcy, and the league should provide better guidance for its athletes. I always thought there were like people that took this, like they'd have people. And I even thought about going into it, and I said, "Oh no, we're not going to talk to you because you're not connected. You don't have Wells Fargo or Capital Bank at the end of your name. You're a nobody." Unfortunately, professional athletes are easy targets. They are highly visible, have lots of money, and limited experience. Maybe that's the problem. I try to be honest. Maybe I should just say, "Hey, are you a professional athlete?" And I should have like started an investment fund, a private equity capital group, and I'd call it Professional Sports Only Capital Group. And then like, "You have to be a professional athlete." And then I could have like just basically taken all their money. I could have been the Bernie Madoff of the professional sports world. Though I find it hard to imagine losing millions of dollars in savings in such a short span of time, I also have a solid financial background, applicable work experience, and family that educated me on personal financial issues. Before pointing the finger at athletes, it may be wise to step into their shoes for a minute. Maybe their financial woes aren't entirely their fault or a result of reckless spending. Oh, bullshit. You're being too nice to these people. Look, I understand if you're an athlete, academics and math is not the number one thing they shove down your throat. And I understand that if you're particularly good enough to get into the pros, they're going to be like, what is it? The Colonel with Elvis. Like, "Oh, you can do anything you want, King, anything you want. You either go bankrupt or you die from a drug overdose." But if you came from a poor background, or certainly not a rich background, you would know the value of a dollar. And then I would also assume that if you had millions of dollars, you would be able to do the third and fourth grade math. Say, okay, this has got to last. I mean, you know how to calculate interest, right? You know that it won't last forever. You could take $2 million and divide it by 50 years and say, okay, here's my life expectancy, and then consider inflation. And I guess that's too hard of math for these professional athletes to do. I guess that's just too hard. So either they are willfully ignorant, or what I probably, it's probably a combination of all this, willfully ignorant, raised by shitty parents, probably single mothers. I'd love to see the number of single mothers, what the correlation is, but you're without fathers around. And then also the entire academic
career of these guys, the entire academic environment has just shielded them from anything, not even hard math, just logic, simple math, simple logic. Which would be evidenced by the scam going on at the University of North Carolina, where you have like these people have doing the homework for these jocks. And then they get, I mean, how many of them really do major in engineering? I think Matt Burke actually was a pretty smart guy. I think he was an engineer, maybe in medical school or something like that. But the rest of these guys, they're not electrical engineers. They're not physicists. They just go to college because they got a scholarship. They're going to play college ball. And college is merely an annoyance to them because they're on their way to doing bigger and better things. And then you dump a guy who's really good at throwing the ball through the hoop to someone who runs really fast, to someone who swings the stick at the sphere really good. And that's all they know how to do. That's it. And then any basic function about how to manage their money, it just goes right out the window. So a combination of everybody telling them what they want to hear, lack of fathers. But there is one other thing. I did think about this because there is actually quite a large economic epiphany or ramification on this. And it points out, and see if you can make the connection here, lieutenants and economists. Why does this prove that socialism won't work? Huh? One of the things I love about socialism and socialists, especially in the teachers' union, is there's never enough money. There's just never enough money. We need more money. That's the solution. We need more money. Spending on education goes up thrice the rate of inflation. Oh, we need more money. We just need more money. And I want to know, well, what's enough? When is it going to be enough? And I even started thinking about this in terms of like the basic guaranteed income debate. Where it's like, well, if we just give people a basic guaranteed income, like, no, you won't. You want to know why? Because it's human nature to spend up to your limits. It's human nature to spend all that you make, even if you have millions of dollars. And this is proven by these idiot football and basketball players. You are given $5 million, $6 million, maybe even $10 million. MC Hammer, what, $40 million? And you just piss it away? Now, if you're educated, I mean really educated, like you could do math, not that you have your master's in sociology, right? But if you're really educated, you would know, okay, hang on, I got to do this. But that's educated. That's a small percentage of the population. The vast majority of people are idiots. They're sheep. And so this is proof it'll never be enough money. You can give a guy $5 million and he'll piss it away. 78% of them end up bankrupt. 78% of these people manage to piss away a lifetime of earnings. You just have to quit. The speech from John Goodman in The Gambler. You know, that if you're up $2.5 million, you buy a $300,000 house, an indestructible Japanese ship box, you put the rest in a bank account that pays 2%, that's your, what, fortress of solitude, that's your position of fuck you. Boss isn't it? Fuck you. Don't want to? Fuck you. And they never got the fuck you speech, apparently, these football players. But I'm talking about what it says about human nature. We could throw all the money in the world at the parasitic class. They'll just spend it. They'll piss it away. Right now, as it is, already the various potpourri of state, local, and federal government, these people go and they buy, you know, TV screens. You look at alimony or not alimony, child support, the women, you know, what, 50% of it maybe actually gets to the child, the rest of it goes to clothes and everything. People will spend all the way up to their limit. And with debt and financing and credit, they'll spend beyond that and get into trouble. What it proves is it's not wealth. People don't know how to handle wealth. They don't know how to react to wealth because there's no consequence. There's no cost. There's no negative. It's good. It's great. You get all the stuff you ever wanted. What people respond to is poverty. Because then it isn't. Then you're starving. Then you're hungry. Then it's like, the oh shit, we're going to be kicked out on our bums. Then there are actual consequences. That's what almost the entire existence of human existence has ever been. All of human history has been avoiding the pain that comes from not having enough resources. That's the downside, and that is what prompted us to become innovators and creative and producers and all that other stuff. But on the upside, you just keep giving welfare mom, you know, Amy, a check, or you give this guy $5 million, oh, they'll spend right up to the limit. You have to starve these people.
You have to make them have pain. This is what got me to where I am today. I kind of starved. I don't know. Maybe a nutritionist can tell me. If I dropped from 147 pounds down to 118, was I starving? I mean, it wasn't concentration camp style. That certainly lit a fire under my bum to go out and kick ass, to have fiscal discipline. You give me, shoot, you give me $1 million, you won't ever see me again. I'll be done. I know exactly what to do with it and make it last forever. But these people that have, like, either the private sector bailing them out, like these precious little suburbanite snowflakes that have daddy and all the men in the world just paying for everything, or on the public sector side, you have the ghetto trash and the trailer trash and the barrio trash having the government pay for everything. You never actually have to work. You never have to, you have to budget. You never have to have fiscal discipline. You never have to go without. You're constantly shielded from that vital, important thing called starvation and the threat of your life ending or being homeless. If you're shielded from that, you never really learn. You never really learn to budget, to discriminate, to be frugal, to make a dollar last. You just go, oh, I get more money. And so that's, I'm afraid, without that starvation, without that threat of having, not in, with charity in today's technology, it's not that you would actually face this threat, but without having a negative reinforcement from poverty and only just bailing out people more and more money, they're never going to learn. And they will spend up to live. So we could give everyone $1 million. We could. I guarantee you the vast majority of them would piss it away. I love reparations. Oh, we'll give reparations to, you know, blacks for slavery. It's like, what are they going to do? What are they going to do? And I think some of our black brothers and sisters who are on the conservative side of the table who listen in, I'm sure you guys know what would happen. Oh, we're going to go buy a freaking caddy, some fucking designer shoes. You know how the majority of them would piss away. And we couldn't even say that about, well, you give it to white people, they'd go piss it away on fucking shoes and crap. But you know that money would not be invested to help, say, recapitalize or restructure the income earning or the economic capacity of the black community. It would not be invested. It would be, instead of investment spending, it would be consumer spending. They buy it on things that would be consumed, not invested, not assets. It would not be used to purchase assets that would help grow people's standards of living, that would produce profits and pay dividends in the future. It would be all pissed away on stupid-ass dumb shit that people blindly believe the corporations are like, oh, I got to get a caddy. I got to get some fancy clothes. I got to go. So it's almost renders any kind of reparations or wealth transfer moot. What are you going to do with it? Are you just going to piss it away? Because that's not going to help you. Look, if a fucking NBA player can go bankrupt in 2 years after giving them $2 million and be the exact same situation, that was just a two-year really big party. And you're in the exact same situation you were before. And that right there is why socialism is never going to work, because it's never going to be enough. It's never going to be enough for these people. They're either lazy or stupid, neither of which results in the money you give them being put towards productive efforts and ends. I just don't see, like, I can at least understand, okay, I'm going to invest in a restaurant. There's the potential you're going to have a rate of return. Or I'm going to have my buddy's rap album. I'm going to find out, all right, there's at least a potential for a rate of return. But then again, if you're too stupid to read a financial statement, know what an income statement is or what financial forecasts and projections are, well, fuck it. You might as well just go and do a 5-mile line of coke off of thousands of strippers all lying toe to head. You might as well, because that's what's going to end up. And there's going to be no production. There's going to be no improvement in anybody's lives. You have to suffer and be in pain in order to know what the costs and consequences are for misallocating your resources and pissing away your time and money. That has to happen. That constant threat has to be there. So you realize, you know, deep down in your lizard brain mind, I have got to work and save and be frugal in order to survive and not starve. And when you have some big intervention agency or entity like the government or a massive salary paid out by the NFL, and you don't have that fiscal discipline, you don't have that because you've just been coddled and shielded from all the harsh realities of life, whether you're a spoiled suburbanite princess or the NFL up-and-coming superstar, you've just had everything. Oh, yeah, you can do anything you want, cheap anything you want, you're the king. And then you get what
less than 1% of 1% of the population get. You get a multi-million dollar payout, and you still piss it away. Bottle service, bringing out your fucking posies. Oh, I love that. You guys got your fucking posies. I got my posse, man. And you go rent those stupid fucking... Oh, I saw this in Vegas so many times. This, they get, not a limo, they get the SUV limo. That's ultimate douche move right there. You run a statistical correlation. You do a sociological economic study of the correlation between douchiness and SUV limo rentals. I guarantee you it's a 1.00 correlation coefficient. It's perfectly correlated. Matter of fact, that's where douches come from. They're not born from women. They're made in SUV limos. That's where they have incubators, and so they can get the total level of douchiness in them. That's where so they're pure 100% douche. Matter of fact, their genetics change. They're no longer humans. They're just pure douche. I saw it one time. Was at the Stratosphere. Just this fucking group of trash comes out. Like, they thought they were so cool, man. They thought they were so cool. They had this SUV limo, and they dressed... And they're, like, in their 30s and 40s. They got their hats on backwards. They got fucking loud-ass shoes. And look, I'm libertarian. You can wear whatever you want. But after a while, like, if you're 42 and you're still in loud-ass shoes without laces, and you got your hat on backwards... And you guys say, oh, yeah, man. In the Stratosphere, if I'm at the Stratosphere, the reason why is because it's cheap. The Stratosphere is pretty ghetto, okay? That's why I stayed at the Stratosphere. Yeah, it's all right. It's nice. I got a cheap deal. You're not pulling up to the Bellagio. You're not pulling up to Caesar's Palace. You're pulling up to the Stratosphere, right? And that told me right there, posers, douche. You get that one night. And you think you're so cool, and you're not. You're fucking losers. And you're hurting and harming your finances when you go and display this stupid display of not wealth, but douchiness. People can see through it. You're not impressing any. Oh, but man, the way they were walking, they were 2 inches taller than they were. They're like wiener dogs thinking that they were German shepherds. It was hilarious. You just had to see this shit show. Anyway, yeah, just an interesting observation there, guys. Like, if quote-unquote college-educated professional football and basketball players can piss away $5 million in 2 years and go bankrupt, I mean, what does that tell you about the average schmo sitting in the trailer park or the average millennial idiot getting their doctorate in some worthless degree? What does it tell you about society as a whole and their capacity for fiscal discipline and fiscal austerity? It just means no matter what money you throw, they're just going to piss it away. They're just going to piss it away. And this is a basic guaranteed income. They're not going to spend it on food and healthcare. I guarantee you, when it comes to basic guaranteed income, if we're to ever implement it and replace all the other stuff, which I'm actually for, if we're to replace all the other government goods and services, they say, here's your $40,000 a year. No, here's your $40,000 a year, basic guaranteed income. You're done now, right? I guarantee you, even with $40,000 a year, these idiots, your average fucking schmo out there, would still manage to piss it away. They would. Especially the lower classes. Oh, trailer parks over in Wyoming, get their Dodge, Dammy, Gizzard, Hume, Go, Dang, Diggly, Dammy, Sam Elliott, Dodge Ram pickup truck. With their truck nuts, they get like silver truck nuts or gold truck nuts. Look it up if you don't know what it is. It is Wyoming to a T. That's what the white trash would do. Black trash, what were they? Yeah, the Cadillac and all that. We already went through it. Latinos, what would you guys do? Atham, what do they do? How do Latinos piss away their money? Is it they pimp their ride, they get the hydraulics? Is that still a thing? Or they all just go buy Mexican flags and protest the United States while being in the United States? Now, how do Latinos piss away their money? I think they just breed and have more children they can't afford. Is that what it is? What is the stereotype? Because you know the whites would piss it away on meth and Dodge Ram pickup trucks. Blacks would do the caddies and their fucking grills and the stupid-ass designer clothes. What the fuck do Latinos do? Now that I think about it, you guys are kind of low-key. What is the egregious, flagrant waste of money that the Latinos piss away the money on? Because I'm not familiar with the Latino culture. You'd think you'd see it in TV, you know, pop culture. What are they? Help me out here. What do they piss away their money on? We got some Hispanic and Latino agents in the field. What is the scum in your group piss away their money on? All I can see is other kids that they can't afford. And heaven forbid they spend some money on English lessons. We wouldn't want any of that. Trust you me, if I'm ever president, it's war. It's like, nope, civil war. Declared civil war. You're out of here. You don't speak English, you're out of here. Get out. You have the right to leave peacefully or not peacefully. And we're going to give you the option to leave peacefully. You can even keep your assets and sell your property. You can take your money. Absolutely. You leave, though, now. Goodbye. Oh, my God. Shut up. Let's get some more sponsors here. Pushing Rubber Downhill, the book by Adam Piggott. Other books as well. Welcome to the Divide by S.P. Daly. And he's going to hang on. Give me a second. Let me go downstairs. There we go. Caustic. Caustic by S.P. Daly as well. If you could go and check out those books. Welcome to the Divide is an absolute mind-blowing experience. I cannot recommend that book enough. It takes a little bit to get through. But please buy it if you could, because it's one of those things where it's like, how come this isn't... This guy put his life effort. This is his life work. It's a great book. So please check out that book. Then we have my books, The Black Man's Guide Out of Poverty. If you are a black man, I guess other people saying The Minority's Man Out of Poverty, though I did consult and tailor it towards black men. But if you're sick and tired of basically playing second fiddle and being in last place when it comes to life expectancy, income, hell, I mean, every measure, about the only group out there that has it worse in some regards, not all, would be Indians, Native American Indians. A lot of it has to do with alcoholism, though, too. But in any case, if you're done with the, oh, it's whitey, you're starting to think, hey, you've been telling me it's whitey for 3 decades and my plight has not improved very much. If you want to, you know, before the remaining 30 or 40 years of your life is over and you ain't got no more shot to improve your life because your life is dead, check out The Black Man's Guide Out of Poverty. And like everything else on this podcast, there's no bullshit here, guys. No bullshit. Just shoot straight from the hip. No bullshit, okay? It's going to hurt. Your feelings might be hurt. That's fine, because not all medicine tastes good. Matter of fact, the shit the left has been feeding you guys, oh, it's ice cream, it's good for you, it'll solve your problems. All of a sudden, you're fatter than hell because all you've been doing is eating ice cream. Just try it. Try it my way once. Black Man's Guide Out of Poverty. Available in paperback and Kindle. It's in Kindle, so you people, some readers, black men, of course, they were saying, yeah, do you have it in Kindle? Because if I read this book, I'm going to get the shit kicked out of me, so I need to be discreet about it. So it is available in Kindle. I will one of these days get an audiobook version together, but that's going to be down the road. Batch of Pat Economics, that is available in all three formats, right? This is for every guy out there, okay? And woman, if you want to read it, certainly will help you, girls, but I don't think you're going to like it. Regardless, Batch of Pat Economics is available in paperback, Kindle, and it's also available in audiobook. Okay, so if you want to go and just listen to it, I understand. Trust you me, I understand. I don't like reading, and this is a 500-page book almost. That's a lot of reading. So, but if you drive or you drive truck or you got some kind of job where you can sit and listen, get that on audiobook. That's available at audible.com. Just search Batch of Pat Economics, you'll find it. Worthless, that's also available in all three formats, audio, paperback, and Kindle. And I would get this, I know it's summer, I know your children or you are off to college, and you've already gone down this particular path, but your first year is just going to be pissed away on getting classes and prereqs out of the way that have nothing to do with your actual degree. So in the meantime, if you're not too sure about your degree, or there's a loved one that's about to go to college or is in college, and you, hey, I'm not, you know, and you want to make a polite yet cogent case that they ought to reconsider their major, get the book Worthless and give it to them. Okay? Whether they read it or not is another matter, because they know more than you. They're 18 years old. They know everything because they graduated from high school and their teachers told them. Well, try this anyway. So it's available as well there. on Amazon and Audible.com. Enjoy the Decline. That's my book for those of you who are depressed and sad about the outlook of the United States. Look, I should have had like a huge jump in sales. I might have actually had a huge jump in sales after the Orlando shooting. And then all these, not all of them, because these are the only ones that were covered. I know that there are many in the lesbian, gay, bi, transgender community. They're like, holy shit, we really got to, you know, look at Islam as a threat. And they're starting to realize we've been sounding the alarms and tolling the bells and yelling from the mountains for a reason. But there should have been a huge jump in the sale when, I would say, the minority, the vocal minority of the lesbian and gay community started coming out and blaming Christianity for this horrendous assault. So I would get that book, everybody, if you're like shaking your head saying, has it become this bad where some in the lesbian and gay bi community hate white people, hate straight people, hate Christians so much that they're going to blame Christians for an Islamic terrorist attack. If you're just shaking your head trying to figure that out, get Enjoy the Decline. It's for you. It's going to make you feel a lot better. You're going to go on more motorcycle rides like I did. You'd be very happy. Buy this. It's very good. You'll enjoy it. You'll make you laugh, curse, and cry. Hang on. Let me see if I can't find that audio. Hang on. Ah, never mind. I can't. I'll find it later on. I'll make another little soundbite of that there. Curse of the High IQ, that's the other book that I have written, of the many other books that I have written. Yeah, that's paperback and Kindle. Undertow is supposed to be doing the audio of it. I'm finding out. I just gotta go pay some professional outfit. $5,000 here, I'm done with it. Here's your freaking money. Honest to God, I try, guys. I just fucking try. No one's got the hustle. Absolutely no one has the hustle. There's no hustle anywhere. I just need not 1,000 of me, not 100. I just need a dozen. Just a dozen clones. And I'm like, okay, you're in charge of this, you're in charge of that, you're in charge of this. And look out. I'll be more effective than the 200,000 employees they have at Walmart. But anyway, all these books, all my books will be getting into audiobook once I find someone that has their shit together and can get their crap done. Hey. It's like lawyers. You know who makes great lawyers? Liberals. Leftists make great lawyers. They do. You don't want a conservative lawyer. You don't want conservative or libertarian lawyers. You don't want it because they're dumber than fuck. You want a scumbag, skeezy, has no morality, perfectly just want to get the money. You want liberal leftist lawyers. That's what you want. That's where you want to go. And then starting to find the exact same thing with employees and labor. And you don't pay up front. You never pay up front. When you're employee conservatives or libertarians or Republicans, you pay upon completion. That's what you do. You pay upon completion. So Curse of the High IQ will be coming out in audio. But in the meantime, you're going to have to suffer with either the paperback or the Kindle version. Behind the Housing Crash, that's my first book that ever came out. If you're interested in what it was like before the housing crash and to see how awesome I was at predicting economies and say, oh, well, are you really an economist? You're not an economist. Yeah, actually, I'm one of the best economists you're ever going to meet. That's also available on Amazon. And then my two best of, Top Shelf and Reserved, Captain Capitalism Top Shelf and Captain Capitalism Reserved. You can find those on Amazon as well. Oh, I forgot to tell you, we're finally going to get Cappy's Quarterly together because once again, I was relying on, I'll tell you a story here, real quick story. There's this nice girl, Cindy Moran. You can find her at cindymoran.net. She's a model. If you're looking to hire a model, please contact her. Very pretty lady, very cute girl. But more importantly than anything else, professional. She has not let her looks got to her. She's a very good looking gal. But she is not arrogant. She's not ditzy. I don't know if she was like an ugly duckling or a late bloomer or something. She knows hustle. She knows work ethic. She knows the shit has got to get done. And she's like, oh, when are you? No particular rush, but you know, let me know because we're coming up on the second quarter. I want to come out with Cappy's Quarterly. And she says, okay, I'll put it together. And then I kind of check in. I say, hey, you done? No, I've been trying to work with this photographer. He keeps delaying, keeps postponing. I'm like, how hard is it to be a photographer and take pictures of a hot chick dressed in lingerie? What the fuck is wrong with you? Unless he was gay, but even then, it's like, do you want to make money? The whole world has money laying around. The presumed capitalists and conservatives, libertarians, Republicans are too fucking lazy to go bend over and pick it up. Sometimes I might have to walk 10 feet to go pick up a gold coin. Anyway, so here's this gal. She's having a hard time finding a guy, or a gal, I guess, to take pictures of her scantily clad. I'm just like, what the fuck is happening to these millennials? Jesus Christ. Have we accidentally started, what's the word, turning them into eunuchs instead of circumcising? Are we just cutting the nads off of these boys? So she did what I did. She went, oh, I'm going to go find someone else. She found another photographer. The guy had hustle. Banged it out in one day. One day. Like, there you go. That's the photographer, and that's the model. Of course, they have to be within the same proximity of each other. But boom, so they got a photo shoot together, so she sent the picture. Oh, beautiful, beautiful. You guys won't even know you're reading economics when you look at this next thing. So Cappy's Quarterly is coming out. Cindy is the model. Thank you very much, Cindy. If any of you are looking to hire a cute girl for whatever modeling purposes, please consider her. CindyMoran.net. I'll be linking to that. Should just throw a picture of her up on the old blog. You guys would harass her. Don't harass the poor girl. If you have real business, go contact her. But otherwise, that was my whole point. We're coming out with the best of, but I'm going to be doing it quarterly like a magazine. We're going to have a model each quarter, as long as I am disciplined enough to do that. And the bottleneck has been finding cute girls that show up on time and photographers that have their act together. So I got another guy out in L.A. Hopefully he'll be able to supply us with a year's worth or four quarters worth for models. Maybe we'll visit Miss Moran as well down the road. So that's coming out, I don't know, within the month. I got to finish Reconnaissance Man first. Then we have Day by Day Cartoon. Go visit our buddy Chris Muir over at his website if you need your daily dose of humor. Silvio Canto's book, Cubanos in Wisconsin. You can find that just by searching it on Amazon. Davis Arini's book, As I Walk These Broken Roads. And Marty Andrade's Nixon's Guide to the Multiverse. And I have to thank Marty. He's doing editing work for me. I got to pay him, of course. If you're looking for any kind of editing work, please consider contacting my buddy Marty Andrade and throw him a couple bucks as well. Oh, we got fan mail. Let's do some fan mail. Hey, Aaron. This is just a video comment, no request. I saw your video, The Problem with Dating Muslim/Religious Girls. This video definitely applies to the email request I had a couple months back. The big catch with my former girl, she came from an Orthodox Jewish family. So pretty religious upbringing. The relationship we had only lasted 2 months. I would add one argument to what you've been saying about these girls who don't believe in the religion but still hold on to it. A big thing is societal pressure. You grow up in a community that wants you to behave one way. Should you decide the religion is not for you, you're pretty much going to face the entire community trying to bring you back. Or just being ostracized right off the bat.
I have no son, because you didn't worship the guy nailed to a plank of wood we're not too sure of over 2,000 years ago. Written by books 300 years after the fact it happened. Sure hope right. Hope there ain't any Mormons up there in heaven.
And a lot of girls do not have the mental strength to handle that. Instead, they appease the community. Well, yeah. One way to appease may be to double down on the religion they don't believe in. This is the case with my ex. She went very devout after she broke up with me. I think these girls are trying to trick themselves into believing something deep down inside they know is not true. Well, yeah, that's most religious people anyway. And I believe people who do this do not end up very happy. No, they're miserable because they're living a lie right there. Anyways, appreciate the videos as always, Cap. Charlie. Well, thank you very much, Charlie. Appreciate that. Yeah, you just... The religious, if they're hypocritical in one aspect, they're going to be hypocritical in others. And I've gone through it before, telling you and warning you boys about dating religious girls, how they will always use the religion to manipulate, control, and basically wield power, lord power over you. They don't want to have sex. Well, you think, oh, look, here's a convenient passage in the Bible. Anything in any one of these scriptures, it doesn't matter, Quran, Torah, Bible, you could pull anything out of it and construe it however you want. That's what these girls do. That's why you just don't date super religious girls. Mr. Clary, short statement. I fully support your Smith & Wesson retirement plan. I went to see my 94-year-old grandmother who is in the ICU. She's being fed crushed ice as that is all she can have right now and has an air mask on her 24/7. Oh my God, fucking kill me now. Finally, someone has been watching her 24/7. I can tell she wants to die. She can only speak clearly about 5% of her words. I have never cried so much in my adult life. This is not how people were supposed to live. No, they're supposed to die. She was so lively about 5 months ago. It is shocking on how fast the process goes the last 5 to 6 months of one's life. I will be happier. It could go a lot faster if you wouldn't intervene. Not you, personally, but I will be happier when she moves on. She is religious. I am not. And she looks forward to seeing her husband who died 22 years ago. I'm 25. Thank you, sir. All I could think about was your Smith & Wesson retirement plan. When I saw my grandma, I still tear up. She should pass away this weekend. Well, I'm terribly sorry there, Tyler. Best of luck to you and your family. And your grandma, too. I think your grandma, she will. She will see your grandpa. Unfortunately, she had to go through. My grandma went through something similar, but it was Alzheimer's. And that was just 10 years of decay. And I'm not joking, guys. And this reminds me. It's on my to-do list. I got to update my will, and I got to get a real intact living will. So I got to go contact my lawyer. Because there's no way, the second I find out that I have Alzheimer's, there's a bullet in my head and my heart. I'm not doing it this faggoty, wimpy, American female way of suicide where it's just a disgusting ploy for attention. It's just attention whoring where it's like, oh, I'm going to slice my arms a little bit. Oops, I took sleeping pills and drank some booze and immediately called 911. Yeah, okay, no, we're talking, like, real men. If you women want to be equal to men, if you women want to be treated equally, how about you start committing suicide the right way? How about that? How about that for number one step? How about you get your suicide? But what's the attempted rate of suicide? I bet you it's inverse. If you look at, because the suicide rate for men is, what, 4 or 5 times that of women? I bet you the attempted suicide rate is 4 or 5 times that for women. Attempted. Key on attempt. Because you're not trying to. You're just out there for an attention whoring and torturing all the loved ones in your life. Actually, you'll torture them away. But yeah, no, it's. I even got to figure it out. I take a bunch of sleeping pills. I pound down an entire bottle of booze. And I do this in a remote area where no one can find me. You can't call the cops. You can't get the paramedics. You can't keep my vegetable ass alive. You take a gun, point it right at your heart, and you take another gun. You put it in your mouth. Make sure you aim towards the back. 1, 2, 3, you pull both, kablam, blam, and you have so many fail-saves of death right there. The brain should stop working, the heart should stop working. If they keep going for some ungodly reason, the pills and the booze should bump you off, and then if you're out far enough away, you should bleed out by the time anybody comes to find you. But yeah, man, there's no way I'm not going out like my grandma. I'm not going to go out like you're crushed ice. What the fuck is that? You got to almost be sick. You almost have to be a sick individual to say we're going to keep this poor dying woman or man alive because of what? Religious reasons? Because we can? It's no different than the fucking Nazis doing life experiments or medical experiments on the Jews. Let people die. They're not your fucking guinea pig. Anyway, so that's the fan mail. And that's about it. Listen, if you really, really, really want to help out the old captain here, please share the podcast with other people. Please share the blog. Tell other people if you're having conversation or you're on the Facebook or the YouTube. Link to my site. Plug it. I really appreciate it. I did the math once. It's anywhere between $4 to $10. If you link, it helps me. If I get a new follower, it's $4 to $10. So if you guys could please spread the word of the old captain here, that'd be great. You can also, I know this sounds so stupid, but if you vote up the podcast on iTunes, it actually does help. So that would be great as well. And then as always, check your nuts, men. Look out for testicular cancer. Also, if you're in your upper 30s or younger 40s, go have your ass checked for the ass cancer and the prostate cancer. And then ladies, always have your breasts checked. So men, feel up your girlfriend's boobies. Ladies, go ahead and fidget with your boyfriend's nuts. And if you're a religious girl and, ooh, penises are gross, well, then boys, you're going to have to, dump your girlfriend, find a gal that actually likes fidgeting with your nuts. But you're going to have to go and find yourself a new girlfriend. That's it. I think that's all we got. So, all right, spread the good word. We'll catch up with you guys next week. Toodles.